Yo, it's Brent. Happy New Year. It is a New Year's Day Burgundy blogcast. Today is January 1st, 2024, 1 p.m. hour on the East Coast of the United States. I'm here to celebrate another beautiful Commanders loss. This one was 27-10 at home against the 49ers. Record falls to 4-12. That's a long, long way from 2-0 and even from 4-5, where they actually were at one point. Seven straight losses. Thank you, Coach Ron, for presenting such an easy decision to your new boss and for teeing up a proper rebuild. So Rivera, of course, tried to bench Sam Howell for this one, and it didn't work, like most of his decisions. He officially named Jacoby Brissett the new starter, the new QB1, on Wednesday of this week. Evidently, on Thursday of this week, Jacoby started to feel some tightness in his hamstring. So then we all, on Friday, learned that he was questionable for the game. Sure enough, it did not improve sufficiently. Brissett couldn't go. Howell played again. So on top of Sam Howell's many recent struggles and frustrations, he ended up also being subjected to the humiliation of a public benching that did not actually result in the interruption of his consecutive games started streak. That's right, ultimately benched for no reason and with no purpose. Or at least no beneficial effect. Of course, it's up to you to decide if it had any real purpose. To his partial and minimal credit, Howell actually looked okay for three quarters. Obviously, the team was not doing a ton of scoring, but for that segment of the game, he was passable. As a starting quarterback, in particular, the long drive on which he hit Terry McLaurin first for a really nice 42-yard gain after McLaurin got some nice immediate separation in man-to-man coverage, and then a sweet back-shoulder touchdown pass. That was a great possession by both of them. Outside of that possession, there wasn't a ton of great stuff, but also not a lot of bad. Aside from a ball that should have been picked off, but wasn't on the first possession. Then came the fourth quarter, and Howell fell apart. Two bad interceptions, one down near the goal line that basically ended the ostensibly competitive portion of the game, such as it was. And then he would tack on another pick for good measure, bumping his season total for interceptions up to, I think, 19, which is not acceptable. All in all, ultimately, you certainly can't call it a good game for Howell. I think it's kind of a reach to call it even an okay or average game, though unfortunately for him, this kind of game is starting to look fairly average. Therefore, while this was probably his best effort in at least a month, it still wasn't good, and I don't really think he's going to come away with it with any sort of renewed confidence or momentum. In this game, the Commanders' defense, surprisingly, was not a total joke, or at least did not give up any obvious, embarrassing, catastrophic, explosive touchdown plays. That being said, they didn't give Brock Purdy much trouble. Now, of course, the starting secondary was completely decimated by injury. Jamin Davis has been gone for a while now. Everybody knows they have no pass rushing threats on the edges of the line. So clearly they're disadvantaged on top of being bad. But I mean, it might have been the best defensive effort since Rivera took over for Del Rio. On offense, I thought Brian Robinson had another good game in returning from injury. Antonio Gibson flashed a few times. I don't know if he's going to be on this team next year, but I think he's going to be a useful contributor on some team. McLaurin was pretty much absent after the aforementioned touchdown, but those were at least a few encouraging plays there. Otherwise, I'm not sure there was really any standout player performances, good and bad, worth mentioning. Eric Bieniemy remembered the running game a little bit there in the first half, and it seemed to be beneficial. Imagine that. But of course, he had to abandon it late as the lead widened. And then Rivera, as per his habit, demonstrated total ignorance as to the appropriate function of a timeout. Thanks to the Cardinals' upset of the Eagles, the Commanders at this moment are amazingly in theoretical possession of the second overall draft pick. In order to keep that spot, they of course need to lose to the Cowboys next weekend. And then we need either for the Patriots to beat the Jets, which I think is entirely possible in what will probably be Bill Belichick's last game with them, or for a bunch of other stuff to shake out very specifically so that the Commanders' strength of schedule ends up weaker than the Patriots, and right now they are like almost identical to four decimal places. I'm pretty sure even if they end up losing that strength of schedule tiebreaker to the Patriots, simply by losing to the Cowboys, they're going to keep that third slot, which is just fantastic. So first of all, this is a huge game, hugely important loss. I'm very pleased to see that they're like 13.5 point underdogs right now. Luckily, Dallas will be incentivized to win this game because the division is on the line. I know some of you historically have not been able to bring yourselves to root for the Cowboys for any conceivable reason. And I hear it. I hear that. But you got to get past it. It's silly. Dallas is going to the playoffs regardless. It doesn't matter who wins the division. Even if they don't win the division, then the freaking Eagles are going to win the division. I'm not sure that that's any better, even emotionally or sentimentally. And furthermore, you just flat out have to root for something that helps your team so much, even if it helps your nemesis just a little. Rivera's going to get fired the next day. I think every single other important person in this regime is also going. In fact, I'll be very upset if that's not the case. There is no appropriate role going forward for Mayhew or Herney. And I'm sorry, but at this point, I can scarcely think of even a single compelling reason why Eric Bieniemy should be granted any sort of like advantaged opportunity for the head coaching job. Honestly, what would be that case? I certainly do not get the sense that the players, you know, are all behind him and deeply love him. This is not an Antonio Pierce with the Raiders situation. The offense has ended up being, I mean, really only barely improved from last year's version. He had Howell, yeah, looking, I guess, statistically pretty good for like 2 months, but that completely collapsed. And even at its best, he was taking sacks at a historic pace. It's just very obviously got to be a full and complete wipe at this point. For that matter, you need 3 or 4 new starters on the offensive line. You probably need 2 new tight ends who can catch. You're in decent shape at running back with Robinson and Rodriguez, even if Gibson leaves. And I think you're also pretty good at receiver with McLaurin and Dotson, even if Samuel leaves. But, of course, most importantly, you almost certainly need a new quarterback. On defense, you need at least 2 new ends. You need a new linebacker or 2. You got Curl up in the air. You might need 2 new safeties. Quan Martin's a question mark. And for that matter, so is Forbes. So corner is just a total black box right now. Your most solid guy there is Kendall Fuller, and he's a free agent too. So, I mean, this is a major, major retooling coming on defense as well. I've explained previously on Twitter and I think on this blogcast that my top hunch for the next general manager of the Commanders is Ian Cunningham, who's currently with the Bears. His formative years have been with the Ravens and Eagles, which I think is going to appeal very much to Josh Harris. In fact, he overlapped in Baltimore with Eugene Shen, who's already in the building, and I think he will fit nicely with this evidence and analysis-based approach to team building that we believe Josh Harris is aiming for. Even if it's not Cunningham, I am very, very much looking forward to this day in the near future where a top executive is identified whose vision will guide the way for an entirely new iteration of the Washington Commanders / Washington something else, which I still definitely hope is to come in the next few years. As for head coach, I'm pretty wide open on this. There isn't really one or two or three specific guys that I just think would like obviously be the right and obvious selection. For what it's worth, I am led to believe that if it's Cunningham in charge, it's more likely not going to be a Ben Johnson or a Frank Smith as your head coach. I want it to be somebody who demands and expects toughness, but at the same time is not a fake hard ass. And I want it to be somebody who, from a football standpoint, is very smart. Football intelligence is just by far my top requirement in the coach. You may say that that's obvious, but our team does not have that right now. Schematic and strategic intelligence is much more important to me than enthusiasm or charisma. I want a guy who can formulate a good plan because I think that, more than anything else, is what builds confidence among your players. Now, if they're able to maintain possession of the second pick, then obviously you scout your ass off on the top 2 quarterbacks. Hopefully you find that you love both of them. And if so, there's very little decision to be made. You take the one that's still there. If, let's say, you only love one of them, well, obviously you hope that he's the one that falls. Or you could potentially consider trading up from 2-1, or from 3-1 for that matter, if you really only love Williams or you only love May. But gosh, it would be so great. And I really think that the whole point, the whole value in this quote-unquote tank job is that if you can get your dude, obviously there are no guarantees that your dude is in fact a dude, but if you can get your guy without having to trade up, that's the dream right there, people. That's it. Failing that, let's say that there is not a quarterback you're in love with on the board when your pick comes. Well, now you've got an ultra blue chip receiver or tackle, or you work the phones and you acquire a ridiculous treasure trove of future day one and day two picks. And if your new GM is the right guy, then that is how your team finally gets up out of the gutter.